Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. The cold streak has snapped, and we're back into sunny times. This is Chuck Bonnerville, Julie Hayden. It's the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
That's right, brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Hey, a full complement of guests today. We've got Raiders coming up here in a second to talk about what he's been forced to do to try to get the Colorado Republican Party chair, Britta Horn, to listen. Going to bring Mark Hamden on, too, from Honey Badger. Mark has done the unforgivable by inviting Republican candidates to talk about being Republican candidates. So he'll bring us up to speed on that.
He had at least a non-Republican last time, which was our good old former congressman. Nobody complained about that, but having Republicans running as Republicans, a lot of grief.
And then we're going to have Mark Poff on, too, to talk a little bit more about, I think, the new reality that we have to adjust to in terms of these insurrectionists in Minnesota. But first, let me bring on the chair of the Colorado Hispanic Republicans, Ray Garcia. He's been on before talking about his efforts to hold the Colorado Republican Party chair, Britta Horn, accountable for her own rules, accountable to the vote of the leadership of the state central committee, and what he's been forced to do when she just doesn't listen. So, hey, Ray, thank you once again.
Good to see you, Ray.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So you filed, I think it was yesterday, at least earlier this week, a lawsuit in Denver District Court, essentially not asking the court to... to rule the party, didn't like that, but asking him to enforce the rules. Can kind of go through, and then you put out a great letter to everybody saying, here's why I'm doing this. So why don't you kind of explain that?
Yeah, this was actually on the 26th that I filed.
Okay.
It's been a couple days now.
Okay.
Sent out the letter yesterday after everything was gone through with the filing and all that. So I sent an email to all four of the people on the challenge or on the suit that to see if they would waive service, and none of them responded. So, yeah, I'm going to have to
thank you for the update and giving us the
Right. So they, exactly. So, the whole thing is just trying to see if I can get the judge to force them to actually follow our rules. This is not an internal thing for the GOP, because the GOP has already ruled. The SEC has already ruled. Everything's all done. We just will need it to be enforced. Whereas the chair of the GOP, Britta Horn, has been delaying everything and denying what the SEC actually rules.
Yeah, so the SEC voted initially to fire Steve Klender, who's running up hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal bills. She ignored that. Then you got a petition signed by more than the required number of people for Britta to hold a meeting to discuss all of this and to discuss potentially recall or at least a vote of no confidence. She ignored. Well, first, then they changed the rules on you. Then they said, and then you said, well, okay, I want to have a hearing, which I'm entitled to, with the executive committee to discuss this, to see what they say. She refused to set this within any of the deadlines. And basically, yeah, you're left with, what do you do when you have a challenge legitimately organized, legitimately filed, and you have a chair that just refuses to acknowledge it?
Exactly. So no, so we originally put a petition forward to have a special meeting to the SEC. And we had started gathering signatures. When they found out about it, Russ Andrews changed the petition form and made it a different petition, then put out an email saying that we have to use this new petition form after we had already started gathering signatures. Right. And when that petition, or when that new form, when his email for that new form went out, we had already gathered 54 of the 137 signatures. And he... So when the XCOM, when I challenged that to the X, when they challenged it to the XCOM, that was what was her name? The divorce lawyer out of California.
Okay.
What's her name? She practices divorce lawyer out of California. She's always, yeah, I'll remember her name in a minute. Okay. But anyway,
Colorado Springs or Pueblo, Sean, something.
Yeah, Colorado Springs.
Okay. Okay.
So anyway,
she challenged it. Yes. She challenged your challenge, basically.
Yeah, she challenged my petition.
Right.
And said, originally she said that they couldn't put the names, the 137 names, to the petition because it didn't look right to them. So she was saying that there wasn't 137 names. But we showed that, yes, they were. They actually signed it online, and we have dates and times for every single one of them when they signed. So then she changed that and said, oh, okay, well, then he changed, or he didn't use the proper petition because Russ Andrews changed the petition. To which, at the XCOM, when we fought this, we said that they changed it midstream because we had already started gathering signatures.
Right.
And they said, no, we didn't. And he actually admitted it after we showed him, well, here's where you sent out the email and we had already gathered these signatures. And you said in your own meeting that we know you're gathering to change the petition.
Right.
And he was like, oh, well, we couldn't let get away with that. Admitted it, you know? So the XCOM still denied it because it was party line kind of, you know, with their Democrats. And they're Democrats in our Republican Party.
Right. So
that defeated in the XCOM. So I challenged that, and I wanted an appeal to the SCC.
Right.
And the next day I sent out an email to Britta. She ignored it, and I sent many more, and she finally acknowledged. She originally said that, well, she didn't get the email. It went to a spam. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that's kind of funny because I was responding to the email you sent me. So how is that going? So anyway, she acknowledged that she got the appeal and that they would set a date. Then she just ignored it and ignored it and ignored it. So I sent email after email. Every couple of days, I'd be sending another email. And I have all this documented so that I can show that she was just ignoring me. The last one that I just sent an email to her saying that I'm just documenting that you're not responding and you're not doing anything. I just need to document it. So that was it. Thank you. And she responded with that they have to get the minutes from the XCOM meeting, and Russ needs to give her the minutes so that they can set a meeting.
Russ can't do that because Russ is very busy coming up with new forms. Yeah. Totally understandable.
Exactly. And I'm like, oh, for crying out loud. They're just, and it got to the point where it's just, you know what? I'm done. There's nothing. They are not going to do what they're supposed to do. There's nothing I can do about it. I have to take it to court. So,
well, and the thing is, the party bylaws, number one, so folks understand, allow this process, regardless of what the issue is and what side you are on the issue. The party bylaws pretty specifically spell out this process. They give her deadlines, which she has completely ignored. And so, yeah, you're kind of stuck in a position of, you know, we don't want to keep, you know, and I was one of the people who signed your original petition. You know, we don't want to keep charging, you know, putting these legal bills on, particularly since we already fired Clenda. But what do you do when you have a party leader who, and I think, let me back up one second, it's important for folks to realize her own chair, or vice chair rather, and secretary, Richard Holthorff and Russ Andrews, who we've been talking about, have acknowledged that they would sign Natalie Tennant's petition to recall her. So it's not like there's this unified force at the top. So Britta is kind of standing by herself and her only
own sentinel.
Yeah. And she's just refusing to follow the law, the rule, the bylaws. And what do you do as a party when you have a significant portion of the party? And I'm going to say Natalie Tennant acknowledged she has the votes to put in a recall petition. Why she's not doing it, I don't know. But everybody knows the votes are out there, right? And so Britta's, I think, her only way forward is to refuse to acknowledge the vote. And so there's nothing else you can do except ask the judge to order to follow her own rules, right?
Exactly. And we all know where Natalie really stands, even though she claims. But here's the thing. There is nobody that is saying that we don't have the one quarter or the 125 names. We have 137 on the petition, but nobody is saying we don't have the quarter of the SEC wanting a special meeting. Everybody acknowledges we do have that.
Right.
There's at least a quarter of the SEC that wants this special meeting. Nobody is contesting that. They are just simply using every way they can to stall it so that they don't have the meeting. She's right. just right. outright denying the SEC.
Right. Right. And you know, and I'll see people in some of the chat groups demanding that the SEC do something. And yet, you know, I always want to say to them, what is it? We're trying. You know what I mean? Ray is trying, and you've gone, and now you've been, you have to go to court and waste, not waste, but spend your time and energy and money to pursue this. So it's not like, you know, it is a weird situation where if Britta wants to ignore it and refuses to hold the meeting, to a certain extent, you can't force her to. I mean, except through the courts, right?
Yeah, except through the courts.
Now,
need I remind you? Need I remind you? This is the same person that in 2024 put up a fake meeting on just a claimed list of people.
Right.
They didn't
right.
actually have this. They just claimed they had a list.
Right.
And then they had their own special meeting and did everything wrong. We're
right.
trying to do everything right, and they're just stalling.
Right. Well, and I believe at a certain point it came down to, no matter what side you stood on the Dave Williams leadership issue there, we were obviously for Dave Williams, he eventually did hold the meeting, right?
Yeah.
He had, yeah, he said, okay, we've got a legitimate petition. These people want to talk about this. And he won, but he had the meeting. So what this tells me is Britta knows she would lose. Otherwise, she'd just have the meeting.
Exactly. Exactly. She knows she will lose.
So, and here's the thing, and let's keep in mind, you know, we'll see, what is it, on the 31st, the fundraising things are out. This is not, let's keep in mind, this is not some leader who's, you know, the head of the parade that everyone's happily following behind her and things are going all hunky-dory, right? This is a leader, I mean, she's driven the party into bankruptcy. She's the unity party leader. She's created more of a divide than ever. Her own officers don't want her in there anymore.
Well, particularly, I mean, they said, well, you know, the grassroots can't raise any money. And so Dave Williams was absolutely wrong. I mean, he raised all the money he needed to run the party. And they said, well, you know, now all the establishment country club people will now come in and open up with the largesse of their hearts money to think. No, she couldn't get them. They come, no, we're done with that. We want a junk primary.
Well, and let's go back to, and Ray, I want to get your thoughts on this. As we keep saying, this is not, I believe, a flaw. This is part of the design. And that's why it's yes. so important to stop her, because she either willingly or knowingly or unknowingly, this is part of a movement to get rid of the Republican Party, not just the grassroots, but the entire Republican Party, by getting rid of the caucus and assembly system, making it completely irrelevant and obsolete. And that's what some of the rich money boys want to have happen in Colorado.
Exactly. That is exactly what they want. And I agree with that 100%. That's what I've been saying all this time.
Right. And so if we need a leader in there who's not doing everything she can to destroy the party, we need a leader in there who will fight to preserve the Republican Party, right? Whether we agree or just, and it starts by simply following the rules. And again, the fact that she's not, she wants the party to go down. And you know, she just wants to be standing in the captain's chair, I guess, when it does. And we're running out of time. We've got caucus, we've got midterms, we've got elections coming up.
She already said that we won't do well in 2026 because whose fault?
It's Dave Williams' fault.
Yeah, that I did shitty, already anticipating her pathetic effort. If I do shitty, it's because of Dave Williams. Oh, okay. Okay.
So Ray, where does it stand? So you filed the suit, essentially asking the judge, as I think you pointed out well in your letter, you're not asking the judge to rule on any actual party business. You're simply asking the judge to order Britta to follow her own rules. And if she holds...
The rules, the bylaws are really a contract in the members
right.
and the officers, and they all agree to abide by that contract. And so then Britta's kind of going, well, you know, screw you. You know, I might as well be a Democrat. So, you know, I don't believe in contracts or fulfilling contract obligations. And it's just, she's just amazing. I don't think anyone would question, among lots of really bad chairs we've had, she's the worst. I think everybody kind of, can't. In living memory, there's never been anybody worse.
By far, yep. Now, here's something interesting. I think interesting left with Dave Williams being elected in the 2023, we actually got a 2-year reprieve from what they wanted to do. Yes. I think all this was in process, and they were thought they were going to have another chair that they could, another KGB that they could use to destroy our party.
Right.
And Dave Williams getting elected really threw a monkey wrench into their whole system. That's why they attacked him so much, because they couldn't follow through with their plans. And it gave and that was an important year because it was the 2024 election. And the
Remember, Dave was the one who fought. Do you see Brittle Warren fighting to keep Trump on the ballot? No, right? No. She was with all those people who didn't like Trump. So, no, you're right. Well, and I think here's the thing that also people need to understand. It doesn't have to be this way. Britta could avoid all of this lawsuit, all of this stuff. All she has to do is hold the meeting that the SCC members have requested per the bylaws. And then we'll hold a vote. If she wins, she wins. If she loses, she loses.
But well, so all it is a reprimand, a vote of no confidence. I think Natalie Portman was going to be a...
Natalie Tennant, you mean?
Huh?
Natalie Tennant, you mean?
Natalie Tennant.
Portman's an actress.
Same woman. That's one's her Hollywood name, one's her local
name.
Natalie Portman's a good actress. Natalie Tennant's a bad actress.
No. Natalie Portman cries for the prize. No, never mind.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be fun and Klenda, now he's built, he's gonna talk about owning the Republican Party four times over. How much is he gonna bill out on this baby?
He's advising Britta. So you know he's got a conflict of interest, right? He should advise Britta. Britta, just hold the meeting. You have to hold the meeting, right? Hold the meeting. But no, because then he doesn't make any money if he's not fighting your lawsuit in court, right? He only makes money if he's fighting the lawsuits that we're forced to file. So I don't know. Hopefully now, but again, there's the judges being what judges are. There's what's a timetable here, Chuck? I mean,
well, you got to serve them. So it's going to take some time for that. Then they'll have 21 days to answer. And then it'll depend on whether they file motions for extensions of time to answer. So it's going to be a month or two before it just an issue. And then you'll start the period
And I think what's good, you've asked for a jury trial. That's kind of interesting. Yep.
So here's where I think she's going to try and go. So like Chuck said, it's going to take time for that. Well, then when it gets set for trial, then she can come back before that date and just say, well, we're going to set a SCC meeting and that'll fulfill this. But the SCC meeting has to be set 30 days out. So that gives her another month.
And then she'll delay that.
And then it'll be time for the state assembly. All that's coming up. And she can just quit before the state assembly happens and say, I'm getting nothing but flack by all the Dave Williams crew. So I can't do anything. So I quit. I'm done.
And then Dave Williams fought again.
and then we won't have a state assembly. And then Barn Kirkmile can come in and say, we need to have a jungle primary.
Exactly. Yay.
Jungle.
Hey, listen, Ray, I want to bring Mark Hamden in, so I'm going to let you go. Final question for you.
I can stay on.
Oh, okay. Well, all right, you can stay on if you want. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Bring in Mark Hamden from Parker Conservatives, does a Honey Badger report. And I guess first, Mark, let me ask you kind of your reaction to all of this. And I mean, just that, your thoughts on it, your analysis here.
Yeah, I'm really happy that Ray's doing it. In fact, I got a hold of... Restore Real Colorado last night. They sent me the article and got permission to republish that in the Honey Badger. So I worked on that today because it's coming out in the next couple of days. And I gave tip of the hat this month to Raymond Garcia for taking the initiative for doing this. This is the kind of stuff that we actually need to have happen. I mean, so many of us, including myself to a point, just sit behind our screen and pound on a keyboard. But what it really takes is people standing up and doing things like this. Not unlike knocking on doors and talking to people about your Republican candidates. So, I'm all for it. I think that this has just been a travesty. I kind of agree that, Natalie's I was called on that to see if I would sign it. And I said, well, yeah, get me the info, sure. But why hasn't it been pushed forward? So this is the right thing to do. We need to do this. And I kind of agree with Ray. When you kind of look at it, you know, I could see her the night before, because we got to have the rules meeting, if I understand everything, the night before, going into that and just say, I'm out of here. Good luck. Good bowling.
Right.
And then, you know, where do we stand from there? Does Richard stand up and do his job and make sure that we have our assembly, or does the whole thing just collapse in on itself like a black hole?
Yeah. You know, and again, as we keep saying, that is hard to tell. Well, listen, let me, because I wanted now, Mark, to talk to you about something else. So, Ray, we can let you go if you want. You can stay on. You can stay on and weigh in on this.
We miss Ray. We love Ray.
Yeah.
How are you trying to get him off? How are you trying to get Ray off, really?
I wanted to talk to you about, so Mark has had the Parker Conservatives, which is probably the largest Republican conservative gathering in the state whenever you guys have your meetings, easily, I think. And you've been having the Republican candidates, and then you had Greg Lopez on.
Independent.
And you are having now Victor Marks. And I guess I've been surprised at the viciousness of people who are, insisting that you can't have Victor Marks come and talk. I mean,
the guy who's raised more money than anybody else.
Yeah.
Okay, he's crazy. But how many of the candidates aren't crazy?
I know. My wife and I laugh at, I recently retired, and I go, God, if I'd have known it was going to be this fun, I would have retired 6 months ago. But it is, Chuck, you brought up, before a little bit before that, I had Greg Lopez on. Yeah. I would have thought I would have caught a lot more flack for that.
We gave a little grief on that.
Man, the spears are going to come out, the arrows, whatever. I was like ready for it that night. And it was like a couple people were a little, pissy, it wasn't that big a deal. But man, this guy just really is, polarizing in regards to that. I've really tried to stay fairly neutral. If anybody wants to have something posted on Parker Conservatives, we post it. I was doing a little bit of work on that because I wanted to have some data to back me up. Is like about 85% of all governor posts on Parker Conservatives are Scott Bottoms posts. Now, really? I'm not posting them, but they're posting them. Right. Number two was Greg Lopez.
Okay.
And he can still post because he's a conservative, and it's Parker Conservatives, obviously. So, people thinking I'm for somebody, or the term this morning was he's carrying the water. No, I'm trying to stay as neutral as possible without busting a gut laughing at everybody.
Well, and that's fine. This is not a fundraiser for Victor Marks.
No, not at all.
Need fundraisers, frankly.
If you don't want to hear, we ask to say, you don't have to go. But
you have to go.
But why is Parker Conservatives not allowed to have anybody but Scott Bottoms? I love Scott Bottoms.
Right. So do I. And I had him in September. I've had, Jason. I've had, I've had a handful of them now. We kind of do one a month.
I imagine you'd have Barb Kirkmeyer on.
I probably wouldn't have Barb Kirkmeyer because I would have to pour gas all over myself and light the matches I always talk about.
Rhinos.
So, I can't, I don't think I could pull that. I don't think my wife would allow that. Okay. We'll blame her. She's over there someplace.
Here's the thing, and this is what I'll say. Like you said, if you don't, Victor Marks is probably arguably, when you look at fundraising and money talks in an election, the who's raised the most money could be considered, given that, the front runner.
Definitely.
And we don't, I think what's interesting is, and this is my, we've been kind of neutral about him too, because I just don't know enough of, you hear stuff.
I do, and he is one of the more fun candidates. I mean, how many child assassins have run for governor? Not many, it's very few. And so let's have a little diversity in our
thing. To clarify, he did not assassinate children. He was a child when he assassinated.
I didn't say, I said he was a child. Yeah, he was a child assassin. He was assassin when he was seven, and they blew that guy's brain out. But his dad
did it.
His dad made him do it. My dad did that too. I was knocking him off because dad said so.
Is go up, given the fact that we don't know very much about this guy. There's so much stuff out there. To me, it seems like if you don't like Victor Marx, this is also a good opportunity because you run a tight ship. You run a great meeting to go there and raise your hand and ask him, say, did you really shoot a guy when you were 7 years old? And you know what I mean? It's rather than say, no, you can't.
You can't have him on.
Yeah. So what we're going to do, what we're going to do is because what I have found over, you know, doing these meetings for the last 4 years is when I ask, say, hey, we're going to go to audience questions that we don't get questions. What I get is a 10-minute dissertation from somebody making a statement and never get to the question. So what I've asked for is, hey, give me your questions ahead of time. I've received over 80 questions.
There you go.
And I'm in the process. In fact, that's what I was working on before.
Oh, read a couple of those off to us.
You want a couple of them? Colorado is an unaffiliated voter state. How will you win the unaffiliated voters without losing the conservative base?
There you go. That's a good question.
On day one, would you use executive orders similar to President Trump's early approach to immediately change direction on key issues? If so, what are the first actions you would take?
Yeah, those are legitimate. No, but it's like, and that's what he has to say, you know? Yeah.
And then the last one came from my wife because she still doesn't know what this is, but I looked it up on the internet. I'm going to ask this just to see if he'll answer. You mentioned flying squirrel sack in one of your videos. What is that? She should Google it.
I don't want to hear it.
No, you got to put slang in front of it. And it was like, whoa. But no. I'm going to ask the questions. He's not going to, one of the big ones on the internet, are you giving the questions ahead of time? Well, no matter. And if you know me, I don't respond in comments.
You just did. So he'll know those too.
Oh, he'll know those too. But those weren't really marked for me. I have the ones I'm going to use asterisk. And okay. So, because I have so many of them. That no, I'm not going to give him the questions. And I'm going to flat out ask him. When we sit down, he's going to get up and do his 40-minute monologue or whatever. And then we're going to sit down and do what I call a barstool interview. If you know Dave Portnoy, something of that nature, we're both sitting there. And I, you know, over 30 minutes or so, I'm going to be able to ask about 7 questions, depending on the length of the answers and things like that. Because these aren't going to be just simple yes or no. They're going to, you know, take a couple minutes each. So I think I'll be able to get in 7, maybe 8. I'll have some backup lightning round type questions as well.
But you said, okay, I'm going to give one Scott Bottom supporter who really hates this candidate. One question. Go ahead. One of you who really hates.
Like you said, they always end up, people do that. They give like.
But you only got 1 minute or 30 seconds to ask a question.
Feeling that those are the well, and Scott Bottoms is a good guy, and you know, and like
I love Scott Bottoms, you know,
no, so do I,
yeah, and like you
but,
said,
but what I don't get, you can tell me this honestly. Scott Bottoms' wife was all over me at I think the Arapo one, maybe it was an earlier one, when I said, you know, Scott's a great guy, but he doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of being elected governor any more than any other of the Republican candidates do,
yeah.
And so what are all these people getting said? Don't worry about it. Nobody's going to be elected.
You know, I know. You know, Chuck, as you and I have discussed, the high watermark for this is not to lose as much as Heidi Gnall lost by.
Yeah.
That's the high watermark here. And I think if we can do 5 points better this time and next time, 5 in about 20, 25 years, maybe we can win. But you know what? I don't care. I'm going to be dead by that time.
Yeah. And you will be dead. It'll be a tie between you and Chuck and Peter Boyles, who's the most hated person.
Well, yeah. Well, as I, you know, we were talking, I'm working at expanding my hate base.
Good.
I have all good. That establishment in Rhino, but I thought I'd get some of the grassroots because if you're a good, if you're a good business person, you diversify.
Yes.
Well,
I want equal hate.
Right, absolutely.
Chuck could be your consultant on that. So,
well, we had a great meeting, District 29 for House seat and so forth, and our Adams County Rhino Chair, Laura
Pasco
came and so forth, and she was great, and we were all razzing her and telling her saying, well, you know, what do you mean you're going to take it under advisement? No, give us an answer now. Yeah. And it was great. It was great. So I made another friend there. I love to make friends.
So do I. I love making friends.
It's an addition game, you know. I don't make any enemies. And I'm dyslexic, I guess. So I switch those around.
Well, when, Mark, let me, final question before we let you go. When is the meeting?
When is
the meeting is a week from today. It is on February 4th. The doors will open at 5 o'clock. It's in the Pikes Peak Event Center in Parker, Colorado. I got a poster out there. If you go on internet, on Parker Conservators, or even my personal site, you can find it out there. We're expecting, you know, a full crowd. We do not do tickets. We do not charge. It is not a fundraiser, but if people give the campaign money, I can't, you know, that's not my deal. That's them to take care of. But we can seat 200, and we can probably put 20, 25, 30 in overflow. And we have filled up before the room. We expect to fill it up. And it's going to be a great meeting. I saw him just Sunday. He spoke at a church near the house, so Pam and I went to listen to him, and it was standing room only in this church. They were not paid people. These were churchgoers. I went around to meet people since I'm part of the community in that area, because I knew some people. And Victor didn't even have – Ellen didn't even come. He was by himself. So there – he had a couple staff members.
What was the speech like?
It was more Bible-centric because it was church. The pastor turned it over to him for the whole sermon. And it was good, a little bit more in-depth than what I've seen before. But overall, he's a pretty good speaker. He's got a good message in regards to what he sees for the vision of Colorado. Is it, you know, if you're taking a look at, you know, from a conservative point of view, you got over here and then you got your rhinos, you know, off the screen way over here. You know, he's probably more in the middle. You know, he's not as, you know, he isn't a Mark Hampton, let's put it that way.
I haven't heard him take any positions on anything. So if he fleshed it out a little bit, that'd be good. Because as far as I can tell so far, he's been playing it pretty politically neutral. Maybe that's smart, but there wasn't a lot of meat on the bone when I.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a political thing, Chuck. I think right now you just got to get through the state assembly, and I think that's when you start defining a little bit more, or at least I think. And I have nothing to do with his campaign. I'm just kind of projecting out there that after he makes it through that, now he is gathering signatures, but he is going through assembly, so he's only going to need 10%. That's going to be to Scott Bottoms' advantage, I would think.
So both petition and assembly.
Yeah, he's going hybrid.
And I will say, I think a lot of people, normally we could pound on people for that, but I do think there are some candidates who are considering doing that, given the uncertainty about the assembly.
Yeah,
and I think that's probably why he did it. You know, when you talk to Greg.
Right.
Greg got out because he's worried. He wants to run for governor. He believes he can win. He can't win if he can't get on the ballot. So, hey, I'm just going to go this route.
That's right. Hey, listen, we're going to let you go. Thank you, Mark.
All right.
We'll see.
Good to see you.
Take a poll later to see about the
hate. Hey, if you guys aren't doing anything, come and join us on Wednesday night. It's going to be a great meeting.
It should be fun. Thank you to Mark.
All right. You guys take care.
Thank you to Ray Garcia. And I don't know, we've got kind of a full crowd up there. Do we have Mark Poff on? Is he up there?
Where is that man? Where's the Poffer?
Is he up there? He is.
There's the Poffer.
Mark, once again calling on you, and thank you for your
time for another good bad shooting lecture or information center.
I wanted to jump right in. This is because we talked about this in our previous show. And I wanted to get your sense just from a training thing. To me, these are not protesters. These are insurgents, right? They're organized. They're funded. They have training. They have tactics. They want to provoke violence. Now they're showing up with guns. My thing is that your average Border Patrol guy, I don't think, is trained for this. It's kind of like you don't send the meter maids into a SWAT raid. You don't send the SWAT guys in to get Maduro out of Venezuela. And I'm
so. Let me finish. I thought you were finished.
No, and oh, my, okay. My question to you is from a training point of view, because I don't want to get in immediately to good shoot, bad shoot, because I don't think that's the issue. The issue is this is their tactic in certain cities right now. And do you think the Border Patrol is kind of trained to handle this kind of thing?
Well, I'm sure they've received standardized training for a lot of different types of events. I would tell you that most law enforcement, even local law enforcement, are not trained for these type of tactics.
Yes.
Even me, you know, I was a cop for 17 years and, you know, we went through active shooter, all kinds of different types of training because protesting is not what this is. This is not protesting. This is rioting. This is obstruction. I'm always wondering, because I watch this, because I say it's always good entertainment for me to watch this kind of stuff. But yet you don't see the Border Patrol pulling out nightsticks.
No.
I mean, cops still have what's called ASPs, PR-24s, and other type of weapons. And they're heavily trained on thumping people in their thighs and other things to put them down. But they're not using these tools because these are not politically correct tools. Just imagine, you know, watching a bunch of guys with PR-24s coming out and wailing on these people. And I'm thinking, you know, you need to hit these people. Every time you're touched, like when I used to work the street, if somebody touched me, that was a problem. And sometimes
for them, that was a problem.
It was a problem for them. And so in these situations, they're actually trying to do anti-training, which is, you know, they've been trained all these years that if somebody touches you, you hit them. You hit them.
Right.
You know, you don't let people touch you.
Right.
And they're touching the crap out of them. If you watch these videos, every time these ICE agents or whatever you, Border Patrol or whatever, they're getting touched. They're getting bit. Their fingers are getting bit off.
We said pictures of this dude, this pretty guy, whatever his name is, kicking and spitting on ICE agents and then trashing their car, kicking and damaging. Well, explain for a second.
No, you can wait for a second.
Okay.
So I feel no sympathy for the nurse. No sympathy. You know, you get yourself.
He's not a nurse anymore. He quit to go on these protests. He's not even a nurse anymore.
Well, he's not a nurse because he's dead.
Did they verify that he, you know, because they all made a big deal. Hey, he's a nurse in a VA hospital. He was not a nurse at the time.
I believe he was not, and I think this has been verified that he was not a nurse. And he quit to go do this. And if you look at, I can see why, because if you look at some of the Twitter or the X accounts where they go through the fundraising, he's probably making more money being an insurgent than he was being a nurse. So
I've really no sympathy. And all this is, you know, are we going to have our country overrun by illegal aliens, and are we going to throw a few out? You know, that's really.
Hey guys.
Oh yeah, go ahead, Ray.
Interestingly enough, I just posted a couple days ago on Facebook about this guy. I just asked a question. So if he was, as the left is portraying him, he's a nurse that was there to just try and help. All right. So I posted the question, okay, if he's a nurse and he was just there trying to help, why didn't he bring a first aid kit instead of a
magazine? He's got a gun though.
Got a gun.
But didn't Rittenhour? Didn't Rittenhour up in Wisconsin, that whole,
yes,
you know, thing,
he had a first
didn't
aid
he
kit.
Have
yes,
medical stuff?
He did.
Yes, he did.
You know, so that's a huge difference. And plus, this guy, Preddy or what, Howard, Alex, he didn't have any ID on him. So
no.
One of the first rules of carrying a concealed weapon is you got to have your ID.
Yeah, because that's the only way you can check the police.
Exactly. And if you're confronted or... not confronted, but if you're in contact with law enforcement, I obviously have a concealed carry. I had a federal one for a while and I'll probably get one back. But as soon as you're contacted by law enforcement, you say, hey, you know, I have a concealed carry permit and I'm armed. That's none of that. I refer to these as life lessons. And he got a life lessons for about the last 10 seconds of his life, which is this did not go well for him. Now, we can have this whole conversation, good shoot, bad shoot, or whatever, and there's going to be a lot of legal terms in there about qualified immunity, it was an accident, or whatever, and we can have that conversation. But who controlled that situation that led to him getting shot was him himself. Alex Preddy put himself in this situation, confronted law enforcement with a weapon and multiple magazines. Now, obviously, as a trained, retired cop, if I go out with a concealed carry, I will have a backup magazine, one, on my person. Having two, what was he planning on running across that, right, that he needs to light up the neighborhood? So I think bottom line is he got himself into that situation and it didn't go well.
Right.
No, it did not go well. But still, you know, I tend to be critical of police and police shootings, generally speaking.
Oh, and me too. I've been critical.
And if I had to do, you know, a new training, kind of like, okay, after somebody's holding a guy's arms down, you got him down on the ground, how many shots does it take to blow his body apart? Could you guys just do like six? Do you really need 10? Bam, 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 bam. Everybody get a shot in.
And this is what I've always said this. It's hard to get a cop to shoot his weapon. It's not hard to get him to shoot 2 through 12 rounds.
Yeah.
Because once he's committed, you know, the training is, you know, when we go through shooting training, it's very rare to take a single shot in training. Right. You know, in fact, they tell you 2 to the body, 1 to the head. I mean, that is what they teach you. And so you can go out and look at a lot of these videos and most of them that you watch are like, wow, they took way too many shots. Well, I will tell you, their training is to keep shooting until the threat has been eliminated.
No, well, they did. Yeah. They did that. They were able to do that.
And I'm not surprised. I've seen these videos.
But it's optics. I'm just talking about optics.
It looks bad.
Yeah.
But I think, again, as I said the other show, we want to be careful not to fall into that trap, because that avoids the point that this is what they are after. That if they didn't do this one, they'd push it till somebody else. I mean, and so
they were on their they were overjoyed when it got shot. They're all
when you say they, you mean the Democrats that are leading their sheep to the slaughter,
right?
And these weak-minded individuals that say, you know, they listen to Waltz, they listen to the mayor, and then they go out and they take a gun to what's supposed to just be I'm going to be a trained legal observer with a gun. And then they get themselves in situations. And that's what the Democrats want. They want ICE or whoever to screw up. And if it sounds like you don't want to go through methodically, you know, actually what happened that day, you know, somebody yelled gun, which is their training. Their training is, I see a gun, I want everyone here, because they may not see the gun, to let them know there's a gun. So let's say I don't see the gun, but I'm there, and he yells gun. Someone else yells a gun. My gun's coming out. Yeah. You know, if somebody tells me this now switched to a gunfight, you kind of need to have your gun out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I see a cell phone or something real quick. I've got half a second after somebody yelled gun, gun, gun. I see something shiny, or, you know, or he pulls something after another cop yells gun. Guess what? He's going to get shot.
Yes. And how do you then, and this is my question, because I don't think you can't go away and say, oh, we'll see you later, Minnesota. But I do think we have to, just like when you adjust to drug dealers, right? They have one tactic and then we adjust to that. Then I think that it is important that we figure out how to adjust. I think we need to infiltrate their signal systems. I think we need to cut off their funding. I mean, to treat it like a terrorist organization almost, right? And how do you go after that and not keep sending these agents who go in? I mean, normally they're border patrol agents, right? They're not, you know, trained to fight in the streets of Fallujah.
I agree completely. The border patrol agents need to go back to the border, and you need to have highly trained federal agents. These are federal agents. I don't care what Waltz is saying that these guys are not cops. He is so stupid. Wasn't he like a rodeo clown for a while? Because he looks like a person who should be wearing makeup and should be chased by a big bull with big horns. He's an idiot. These are federal agents, and you're playing with things. But yes, Border Patrol, I think, should be on the border, and then highly trained ICE agents. Change your tactics. Every time somebody adapts, this is just like radar detectors. They started with X-band. Everyone got an X-band detector. They switched to Y. Then they switched to Z. You know, so you switch your tactics. And the funding thing, I agree with 100%, but there's so many of these judges that activist judges that'll go in there and say, no, I'm going to mandate that you can't stop funding. That's right. Like a judge telling you, you can't not speed on the interstate. I'm going to mandate that you have to speed on the interstate. This is insane that these judges are saying this. Funding comes from the federal government. It doesn't come from some judge in Minneapolis.
Yeah. Well, no, that's a good point. Well, and
I would make an exception to thinking 10 shots is a little much for Natalie Portman. If Natalie Portman gets the gun,
Grace Chuck's comments don't count.
What do you mean, Joy? You were complaining about Natalie Portman before.
But I didn't say she should be shot.
I didn't say she's shot either. Uh-huh. I'm just saying if they're forced to, if they're, you know, she's carrying a gun.
And it's just, it's not in their training. And all the training, I would say that during my 17-year career, I couldn't even tell you how many rounds that I shot in training. And I don't know of a training where they ever taught me shoot once, observe, shoot again, observe, shoot a third time, observe. That's not part of the training. Yeah. The training is it's either gun on or gun off. And, right. and you know, when they stop is when they stop.
Yeah. When they train too, though, I imagine you also weren't trained being sent into scenarios where you knew the people were willing to hurt, possibly kill you, and were willing to die themselves. I mean, your basic, you know, Bronco riot after, do you know what I mean?
They're not trying to get themselves killed.
Yeah, the very.
I've never had this kind of training to handle idiots.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, the bottom line is this. When you're given a legal command from law enforcement, legally you have to obey that or you break the law. Well, that's not really going on in Minneapolis, and you don't see Waltz or Frey or whatever his name is, you don't see them saying, hey guys, just to let you know, if they give you a legal command, you have to obey it.
No, that's not part of the
nobody's ever said that. And nobody's putting the local police in the middle. That's why you need local police, and that's why you need the National Guard, is they need to get in the middle to say, we're here to protect the people. I don't care what you say, but we're going to make sure that you don't touch a federal agent. That's our only role. You don't get to touch them, or vice versa. That's fine, because the ICE aren't interested.
You cross this perimeter, exactly. Then you get arrested.
And it's safety.
And what do you do then, training-wise, when you don't have that, right? I mean,
you
to me,
thump
that's
them.
Yeah.
You thump them. I mean, I sit there every time, and I'm like,
thump them.
What's that Chris Rock video where how to not get your ass whooped by the police?
Exactly. It's like if you touch a cop, you should inflict an injury that requires them to go to the hospital. Now, I hate to say that, but it's like spoil the rod, or what is it? Spare the rod, spoil the child. And these are a bunch of little baby children that are stupid and don't understand the laws. And they're being pumped on by Democrats that are sitting back going, they're smoking cigars and drinking bourbon going, look at those dumbasses. This is hilarious. They're listening to me. And they need to get thumped.
I'm glad I never touched you. And
it didn't. But that's, you shouldn't touch a cop.
Doesn't apply post-retirement golf or something. You're going to the hospital, buddy.
Depends on what your score was.
We do need to go play a round of golf. Yeah. But I'll tell you, the whole scenario is out of control.
Yeah,
they need to be taught that you do not touch law enforcement. You can protest. And I always say this to everyone I've talked to. If you're standing on the curb, standing on the sidewalk, and you're yelling all the profanity you want, that's a protest. And doing signs or whatever. Once you come in to me, if I'm in an operation, you touch my car, you touch me, you touch the person that I have in custody, that's game on. And law enforcement is a team sport.
You go to the hospital?
Well, and I think...
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. And you don't send them to the hospital. You stop the threat. That's the term.
That's right. Maybe revise that prior statement.
But back to my point, too, is I think you're right. What we do need is because that gives them the optics that they want, right? They want to see something. And so they need to, the Trump administration, I think it's perfect the way you said it, put the Border Patrol people back on the border and then bring in highly trained people who know how, and then use our own. I mean, if we've got people on X breaking into the signal groups, I'm sure somebody in ICE can break into the signal groups and sort of do, I mean, we need to be throwing everything we have at defeating and not giving them the optics they want. And at the same time,
now, exactly what you do is, you know, normally I'm pretty sure what I think, doesn't mean I'm right, but I'm pretty sure And here I'm kind of going, this is tough. You got to back off, but not back off too much.
Right, right. Now, see, I think they really handled the protesters or rioters that went into that church. I think they kind of did that pretty well. You know, they arrested three people. They didn't make a big scene or anything. And they're going to charge them federally. And I hope they're going to continue to get every person that went into that church. That's seriously crossing a line that should not be crossed. You know, if that was a synagogue or a Muslim church or whatever. Actually, if it was a Muslim church.
They would have dealt with it.
It would have been unbelievable. I mean, it would have been a massive insurrection. And they would have marked down the date like January 6th and said, this is the day that we lost religion in the United States.
Right.
Well, you know, but they can do it at a Christian church. And everyone, well, they're just exercising their freedom of speech. Not in my church, you don't.
Right. Hey, listen, we're out of time, Eric. We're going to have to let you go.
That was fast.
Thank you. What a great show.
That was great.
And Ray.
Everybody. Yeah. Great show. Appreciate you all coming on.
All right. We'll see everybody
out. Sure, guys. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody. Bye, Mark. Thank you.